You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Let it believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome. We absolutely welcome you today to our show. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I have some happy news for you. I have some great news to share with you, and we love good news around here. Our first piece of good news is that this podcast is nominated for the Fair Play Country Music Awards for Best Podcast, and we're also nominated for the Red Carpet Awards Show in Holland. And as you may know, we're nominated for the World Entertainment Awards for Best Podcast as well. So we are definitely celebrating around here and very grateful for the gift that God has given us to have this program, this podcast, this platform, and all of you who make it possible by listening, by sharing, by donating, this network also. We are very, very grateful. We're grateful to have our guest here today, someone who always inspires and encourages and uplifts us. And we will ask you, would you please introduce yourself to our friends?
Yes, this is Jacob King from Atlanta, and I am really excited to be here today, especially with all the great news that is going on.
We're really glad to have you here. You're a blessing to us, and we are so thankful for you. We are grateful that you are here.
Yes. Thank you again for having me.
Well, help us celebrate. What's on your heart today?
Well, I would like to start with, you know, because this is the Christmas episode, some interesting things about Christmas.
Okay. Great.
So, have you ever wondered how Christmas started? You ever researched it or looked it up?
I know the nativity story, but I'd love to know more.
Okay. Well, in the middle of winter, it's been a long time of celebration around the world. Mm-hmm. Centuries before the arrival of Jesus, early Europeans celebrated light and birth in the darkest days of winter. Many people rejoice during the winter solstice, and the worst of the winter was behind them, and they can look forward to longer days and extended hours of sunlight. So in Scandinavia, the Norse celebrated Yule from December 21st through January, which was the winter solstice. So in recognition of the return of the sun, fathers and sons would bring home large logs, which they would set on fire.
Mm.
And as you know, this is referred to as Yule logs.
Okay.
So it really started as a pagan holiday. And in Germany, Scandinavia, and Europe. But they combined it with some Christianity after Jesus was born, and we started celebrating the birth of Christ, as you know.
Wow. That is very fascinating. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah. So in the spirit of Christmas and giving gifts, today I would like to talk about some of the gifts that God has given to us.
Mm, yes.
So God gives us grace gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's
Amen.
Like a tongue twister. Don't try and say that too fast.
Yes.
I'm going to start off in Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 7. And this is out of the Passion Translation, which, you know, I love this version because it just brings out so much, so much passion to the word.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7 reads, "And he has generously given each one of us supernatural grace according to the size of the gift of Christ."
Mm.
So God gives us supernatural grace according to the size of the gift of Christ. Skipping down to verse 11, "And he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers."
Mm.
And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness into the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God, and finally become one into a perfect man with all the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully develop into the abundance of Christ. So let me pause there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
God gave us these grace gifts in the church, and we refer to them as the fivefold ministry. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he gave these gifts so that they would build up the body of Christ. And the ultimate goal is that the body be fitly joined together, attaining oneness until we all are formed and become spiritually mature. That is incredible to me.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts so far?
Wow. Well, first of all, I think of the kindness of God in giving us not only his Son, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave us his only begotten Son. And he gave us grace. He gave us salvation by grace. And then to make sure we got it right, to make sure we got through life okay, to make sure that we could handle what else came, he's given us the fivefold ministry to help us and build us up and encourage us. And I'm just amazed by that, how kind these gifts are.
Yeah, he wants us to be, you know, fully developed.
Yes.
Which, you know, I don't know if we often think about that. I think that there are different levels that we have as Christians, and I would kind of categorize them. You know, you start off, you're a babe in Christ.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the second level I would kind of describe is that you're a carnal Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though you're born again, your mind still needs to be renewed. That's why it says in Romans 12, I think it's verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world."
Yes, right.
"But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind."
Mm-hmm.
So it's our responsibility to come out of thinking like the world and to come into thinking like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So until that actually occurs, though, there's some carnality. There's there's some mix. You're still in the world and thinking like the world,
mm-hmm.
but you are born again.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul really writes to those type of believers in the book of Corinthians. Then another level is like being a disciple. And that's when you really decide to follow Jesus. That's where Jesus is talking about, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll take up your cross, because
mm-hmm.
there's some things that you got to bear. And you have more of a disciplined lifestyle.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then the next level would be a mature Christian.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
When you have an understanding of righteousness is the first indication of maturity, because it talks about that in Hebrews chapter 5, that you're no longer babes,
mm-hmm.
Drinking milk, but you're able to understand righteousness. So you're more mature as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the full measure is what it's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 4. When we reach the full measure, we're unified as one person, one man, as the body of Christ.
Wow. That's powerful. That's amazing. And God's grace in giving gifts to us to help us get there. It's not just a treasure map. We hope you make it. Good luck. We don't need luck. We have grace. And so I'm so excited that we have all of these levels, we have all of these wonderful things, and yet God is still our very present help in every part of it. That's amazing to me.
Yeah. In spiritual things, as well as natural things, there's a supply and demand scale.
Mm, okay.
And what I mean by that is that as we are, given different assignments by God, He always supplies what we need for that assignment. He doesn't just demand that we fulfill an assignment without supplying what we need for it in advance.
Mm, that's wonderful. That's good news right there.
It is very good news, because, a lot of times we as people tend to look at the demand side.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to keep this, I got to keep that, there are these rules, and we concentrate on what we have to do, but we often neglect the side that God has already provided.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has provided everything that we need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Even with, the beginning of this chapter, it talks about walking worthy of our calling.
Mm-hmm.
But the first three chapters in Ephesians talks about who we are in Christ and what we have as a result of who we are in Christ. A lot of the first chapter says, in Him we have this, in Him we do this, in Him we do that. So it's building us up to the point that we're supplied with knowing who we are in Christ. So then when we get to chapter 4, we can walk worthy of our calling, because we have already been supplied with who we are in Him.
I love it. I love it. One thing about good news is that when you hear it, you know, my granddaddy used to say, real recognizes real. And when we hear that good news, it resonates in our spirit. It lifts up our spirit. What does this news do for us right now during this holiday season?
It should do just that. Mm-hmm. It should lift our spirit. You know, a lot of times the holidays are hard for people because maybe they've lost a loved one. They, you know, may not have the finances that they desire to have. They may have bad memories around the time of year. But I would encourage, you know, each of us to create new memories and enjoy the moment that we have. You know, like we were talking about last month, gratitude goes a long way. So we have to carry that along with us as well, being thankful for the very moment and being thankful for the gifts that we do have. And I think a sense of appreciation will cause us to get closer to the things that we desire as well.
Wow. That's excellent. Well said. I think, too, when I look at the grace gifts that God is giving us, I think there are a lot of people who, they don't know that. They don't understand exactly what the fivefold ministry can mean to their lives. And so, for all of us, what does the fivefold ministry mean to us? I mean, it's not just somebody, you know, you turn on the TV and someone's preaching, or, you know, you go to church and there's a pastor. What does it really mean to our lives?
That is a great question.
Thank you.
And I will attempt to answer it by kind of explaining what each of those gifts does, you know, to the believer. An apostle really is one who plants and gives direct. So as a seed needs to be planted before it can produce anything. So just think about the things that need to be rooted and grounded before they can develop. I heard recently about how skyscrapers are built. And you need to dig down pretty far, depending upon how high you want to go. So sometimes those roots need to be developed before you see anything sprout up. So there may be periods and process that we go through where we may not see anything happening for a long period of time. But just remember that they buried us but didn't know that we were seeds. The old Mexican proverb. And we may be in need of developing the proper roots. So that's what apostles help us do. Now, prophets in the New Testament are different from prophets in the Old Testament. New Testament prophets are kind of like people who are encouragers. And they give confirmation to something that the Lord has already told you. You know, different from Old Testament prophets in that way. Evangelists, they're the ones who primarily are out in the marketplace and are witnessing to people. So they're constantly telling people how they can get connected to Christ. Pastors are shepherds. So their job is to feed the flock, feed the people that that they pastor the Word of God and mm-hmm. oversee, you know, their lives, to give the people someone to be accountable to. And then teachers are ones who teach the Word and have studied to show themselves approved, so that they're rightly dividing the Word
mm-hmm.
also. So all of these fivefold gifts are working together to develop the believer in Christ,
mm-hmm.
to mature them from these different stages that you know I told you about. Get them from a babe in Christ, get them from a carnal Christian, to get them into discipleship, so that they can become a more mature Christian, where we're all working together as a unified body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. And I hope that for our friends who are listening, hearing that also lets you know which grace gift you need in your life. We had a pastor who visited with us on this podcast once, and he said, any problem you have in your life is because you're missing a piece of the fivefold ministry. You're missing a person who would be able to help you with that. And I'm thinking about what you just said in a wonderful way, which is that there's some help. You know, there's some help. You don't have to just do this all alone and figure it out and make a bunch of mistakes and fall down and try to get back up. I mean, in this life, we can either make mistakes or we can have mentors. And God is literally giving us these bright, shining lights to help point the way, just like arrows to the sun, right? This is how we go if we need this. This is how we think about the Word of God in our lives to move from faith to faith. And that's beautiful. Thank you so much for explaining that.
Yeah, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, an awesome way to look at it, too, that we can determine what gift we need by what's missing in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that brings me to another point as well, the importance of covenant or partnership.
Oh, wow.
Because all of these gifts are working together. You know, like the Bible says, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight,
mm-hmm.
but a threefold cord is not easily broken.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in Ecclesiastes 4:12, and it says that, and though a man may prevail against one who is alone,
mm-hmm.
two will withstand him,
mm-hmm.
but a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Yeah.
So when we work together in partnership and in covenant with one another, then we're able to do much more than we can do alone. Even God doesn't operate alone. He always works with the Son and the Holy Spirit as
wow.
the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever God wants to do something on earth, he establishes a covenant with mankind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there have primarily been five different covenants. There's a covenant with Noah,
mm-hmm.
where he said that he wouldn't destroy the world again with water. And every day in the world, somewhere there's a rainbow.
Mm, wow.
There's a covenant with Abraham,
yes.
where he promised to make him father of many nations. There's a covenant with Moses, where he gave him the Ten Commandments. There's the covenant with David, where he promised that one of his heirs would always reign as king. And then there's the new covenant of grace,
mm-hmm.
where it talks about, I will remember your sins no more. Your sins and your lawless deeds are forgotten.
Amen.
So, I'm just excited about the grace gift that God gives, and I think there's no better time than Christmas to remember these gifts.
I am really appreciative of you sharing these grace gifts with us, because they are the real gifts. Right? I mean, the stuff that people buy and put in boxes and put a bow on, that's really nice. I mean, that's delightful. Thank you so much. But the real gifts, the gifts that'll help you get through this life and prevail in all kinds of circumstances and, you know, have the kind of triumphant, victorious, abundant life that Jesus came to give you, these are the gifts. These are the gifts.
These are the gifts.
Right?
The most important ones.
Absolutely. And the most important gift in all of it is Jesus Christ. And so before we go to commercial, I would be so honored if you would pray for our friends who right now are thinking, oh, maybe Jesus is tugging on their heart right now. Maybe the Holy Spirit is, you know, whosoever will, let him come. You don't even have to wait for an invitation. That's how wonderful Jesus is. That's how much he wants you in the family. People used to talk about our family. I come from a big family, and a big Southern family, in fact. And there were always all these people at every gathering and everything that are related to us but aren't. You know what I'm saying? And they just come. They don't wait for the invitation. They just, oh, we heard y'all were eating, or we heard you were, you know, we heard you were in town, or we heard this, or and they're just there. And sometimes we can figure out, oh, yes, that's my uncle's army buddy, or, oh, yeah, that's right, that guy played football with my other uncle, or whatever. But sometimes we're not even really sure how they got there. But we're glad to see them just the same. And so right now, you don't have to wait for an invitation. You know, well, I'll go to church, and I'll, well, later when I pray. Well, we're going to pray now, so. Well, maybe when I get my life cleaned up. Oh, you won't. The enemy will always make sure that your life is not ever, you know, it will just be chaos and mayhem to keep you from coming to Christ. Come now, just like you are, just as you are. You'll do better later. Come just as you are, and Jesus will help. And so I would be so honored if you would pray for our friends who feel that they need to receive Jesus right now.
Definitely. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we're indeed grateful for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you're always with us, that you're for us, and that you're in us. Now, Lord, we pray for those who might want to accept you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, prick their hearts right now and let them know that they are loved, that you have given your only begotten Son, that whosoever, including them, may have life, and have life everlasting. Whosoever believes in him will have life. So all they have to do is say, Lord, I believe in you.
Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I believe that he was raised again from the dead.
Lord, I believe he was raised.
Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
And because they believe, they are now within the body of Christ. They are now a new creature.
Hallelujah.
In Christ Jesus. They have a new way of thinking, a new way of walking, and a new way of life.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, how wonderful. We came here today to do that. No one else in the world is more important than you coming to Christ. We'll be right back after these messages.
Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on her knees. They pray all, they pray all, and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute! They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hear the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward, doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Meet America's adults over 65. 70% of them have high blood pressure. And nearly 50% of those don't have it under control. Even with Medicare Part D coverage, about 5 million adults aren't taking their blood pressure medicines as directed. So why does that matter? Because high blood pressure is one of the leading causes of heart disease, stroke, kidney disease, and death in the United States. Along with healthy food choices and regular physical activity, blood pressure medicines reduce those risks, but only if prescriptions are filled in the first place. And one in four adults with Medicare Part D skip doses or stop taking their medicines altogether. Some are reluctant to treat a problem that often doesn't have symptoms. Others get confused over when to take which pills, or worry about cost or unwanted side effects. The thing is, heart disease, stroke, and kidney disease don't care about those factors. But you can take action. Ask questions about how to correctly take your medicine and why you need it. Keep track of your blood pressure between medical appointments with a home monitor. Coordinate pill refills for fewer trips to the pharmacy. And reduce confusion by using weekly pill boxes and tracking apps. It's easy to download free tip sheets and tools to help you or your loved ones take their blood pressure medicines on time and in the right amount. To learn more, visit millionhearts.hhs.gov.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything. But they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag. Water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny. Or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
I'm so glad that we're here today. I'm so glad that you're here today. I'm so glad our guest is here today. And I thank God for this wonderful opportunity to celebrate together. Would you please reintroduce yourself to our friend?
Yes, this is Jacob King, and I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia. It's very sunny. It's a little chilly, but it's sunny.
That's wonderful. I'm so thankful that you're here. I can always count on you to bring gems and treasures out of God's Word. And so I'll just hand you the mic and let you speak to us out of your heart.
Well, I have more gifts.
Yay! This is great.
There are spiritual gifts that God has given us as well.
Praise God.
According to 1 Corinthians 12, there's 9 spiritual gifts.
Marvelous.
So let's turn over there and look and see what they are.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 12, verse 4.
Okay.
It says, it's the same Holy Spirit who continues to distribute many different varieties of gifts. And then we'll drop down to verse 8. It says, for example, the Spirit gives to one the gift of the word of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
To another, the same Spirit gives the gift of the word of revelation knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And to another, the same Spirit gives the gift of faith. And to another, the same Spirit gives gifts of healing. And to another, the power to work miracles, and to another, the gift of prophecy, and to another, the gift to discern what the Spirit is speaking, and to another, the gift of speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another, the gift of interpretation of tongues. And the Holy Spirit is the one who is responsible for distributing these different gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Let's drop down to verse 27 of the same chapter.
Okay.
It says, you are the body of the anointed one.
Mm-hmm.
And each of you is unique and a vital part of it. God has placed in the church the following: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then those with gifts of miracles, gifts of divine healing, gifts of revelation knowledge, gifts of leadership, and gifts of different kinds of tongues. Now, not everyone is an apostle or a prophet or a teacher. Not everyone performs miracles or has gifts of healing or speaks in tongues or interprets tongues. But you should all constantly boil over with passion and seeking higher gifts. And now I will show you a superior way to live that is beyond comparison. pray for spiritual gifts.
Wow. Wow. That's a great question. Do we?
I don't think we do as much as we should.
Yeah, I think people pray a lot more for material things, for, you know, situational changes. But what if we did? See, it might be that we're just, the devil's got us all putting out fires. Like, okay, you got to run over here and pray about this. Oh, nope, now go pray about the car. Oh, now, hey, pray about that, pray about this. When maybe some of the answers are some of these spiritual gifts.
Yeah, I think that we pray for things to happen to us. Like, we'll pray that we might be healed, or we'll pray for somebody else to be healed, and we'll say, Lord, go and touch so-and-so. But we're the Lord's vessel here on earth. So a lot of times it's up to us to be the ones to go and touch somebody else. And I think that we need to be more cognizant of praying for spiritual gifts so that we can operate as the body of Christ.
Wow.
One thing that stuck out to me is that each of us is unique.
Mm-hmm.
And each of us is a vital part of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't sit back and not do our part because somebody else is counting on what you have, the input that you're able to do, your unique gift, so that they can be blessed.
Yeah.
We all have to work together.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that God designed it.
Isn't it wonderful? Isn't that marvelous? You know, as an enrolled member of a recognized indigenous tribe, I think tribally. Like, if I don't have something, I know somebody else has it. I know if I throw a request out there and say, does anybody have any of this? People, somebody will answer me, and they'll have it. Or if I don't know, I can, it's kind of like having a hive mind, right? Like, well, I don't know what to do, and everybody will get in there and try to figure it out with you, or pray it out with you, or pray for you, or whatever. And this is amazing to me. Because I think there are a lot of people who are just going it alone. Struggling. It just can't figure it out. Don't know what to do. Can't, just alone. And yet God's plan for us is always covenant and community. Mutual aid. And that's beautiful.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head that a lot of us are trying to do it independently. That we're trying to go it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that that's the way to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
That there's even a commercial where, you know, this guy is trying to bench press more weight than he can handle.
Oh, no.
And another guy comes up and he said, you know, let me help you. And he was like, no, my family, we don't know how to accept help.
Oh, no.
And he's sitting there, you know, with the barbell right at his neck, you know, and he can't do it on his own.
Mm-hmm.
We're not designed to do it on our own. Like I was talking about earlier, we need partners. We need to be in covenant with other believers in order to be more effective here on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We need a tribe. We need a village.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That brings me to another question. What do you think the body of Christ currently looks like in the spirit?
You know, I'm not sure. But I would say this. There's a point where Jesus borrows Peter's boat. And he preaches from it. And he says, you know, after that, he says, well, go out in the deep, let your nets down for a haul. And Peter and his associates were washing their nets. They were done for the day. And so Peter's like, well, you know, but nevertheless, at thy word, you know, and he lets down a net, one net, and it breaks. And it says that his partners come and help bring in all the fish. And so when I think about the body of Christ right now, I think there's a lot of us that are missing gifts and blessings and opportunities and open doors and miracles of all kinds because we don't have any partners. We don't have community. We don't have, we're not in position. You know, like there's an overflow of blessing, but you're not there to get yours. Or someone else needs a miracle, and you're, you know, I think about the man that was paralyzed, and his friends tear the roof off the house. And Jesus says he saw their faith. He saw their faith, and that's how this man got healed. Mm-hmm. There's someone who needs your faith. There's someone who needs you. There's someone that you need. And so I wonder if I could see it in the spirit, would I see like a lot of people out of place, people missing, and people, you know, here's the answer to your prayer right over here, but you're over there. You know, I wonder if that's what we'd see.
Yeah, I wonder exactly what it would look like also. And then what should it look like?
Well, it should look abundant, right? Every need met. You know, people should not feel like they're isolated and alone, or that they have no hope and no help. People who have more, you know, looking at it going, huh, what should I do with all this extra? You know, when there's other people saying, oh, that's just what I'm praying for. I mean, it's amazing when you really think about it, how interconnectedness works.
Just thinking on a financial level,
mm-hmm.
I was listening to some ministers talking about, you know, the state of the Black church.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them said that there were 65,000 churches that bring in about $50 million a week.
Oh, my. Wow.
And over a year's time, that adds up to $2 billion.
Mm.
And that's only a percentage of what is available for, you know, just the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about the resources, you know, financially, if we all pooled that together and we're helping our communities. They wouldn't have to depend on government. They wouldn't have to depend on other resources. You know, the church could be fulfilling a lot of the needs of the community. And people hear you better when their needs are met.
Yes.
What is that saying where it says people don't know how much you care. How does it go?
People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
There it goes.
Yeah.
It goes, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, James says that, right? Like if somebody comes to church and they don't have a coat and they don't have any food and you just sort of pat them on the back and go, hey, be warmed and filled. What have you done if you haven't met those basic needs?
The basic needs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And think about, we've been talking about spiritual gifts, but it also extends to, you know, the physical needs,
mm-hmm.
because that's where the world is hurting,
mm-hmm.
especially in, you know, times of recession and times of inflation and the things that are seeing the world go to. I think that our focus has been, you know, getting to heaven. But really, what God wants to do is bring heaven to earth.
Mm, wow.
And he wants to do it through his church.
Mm-hmm.
It said, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, and on earth as it is in heaven. So we're to bring what God wills on in how his will is in heaven, mm-hmm. we're to bring that on earth.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sickness in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
There's no poverty in heaven.
Right.
So it should be that way on earth.
Mm. That's beautiful. My granddaddy was my pastor for many years at Wright's Creek Indian Baptist Church in Cherokee, and lived to be 100, D-Day, World War II veteran. Great man of God. And he used to say about our church, he'd say, now, nobody in this church should ever be lonely. You should have plenty of friends. You should have somebody to talk to. Nobody in this church should ever be hungry, because anybody in this church should be willing to help you. Nobody should go without or even not know what to do or try to do something. He said, don't even lift anything heavy without asking the church first, because we're here to bear one another's burdens. We're here to keep one another company. We're here to walk each other home. And our church was just absolutely fantastic. And he was a great pastor, great man of God. And
Amen.
I think about that a lot, you know, that he wanted that Acts church where everybody had everything in common and people shared with one another and everybody had company and everybody had friends and everybody had, you know, all you had to do was say the word. And it was amazing to see how many times heaven has its own economy. You know, you're sitting there thinking, well, I really need this. And somebody's like, you know, I got a box of those in my garage, you know, or something like that. And it was a beautiful example to me of how we could care for one another and love one another and just really follow the love of God in all things.
That brings me to the last gift that I want to share.
Yes. Oh, how lovely.
The last gift is love.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, 1 Corinthians 13,
mm-hmm.
starting at verse 4, it says, love is large
mm-hmm.
and incredibly patient.
Mm-hmm.
Love is gentle and consistently kind to all.
Oh, wow.
It refuses to be jealous when blessing mm-hmm. comes to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance.
Mm-hmm.
Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor.
Mm-hmm.
Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others.
Mm.
Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up.
Mm.
Love never stops loving.
Mm.
It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. Is more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
But when love perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters,
mm-hmm.
where I saw things like a child and reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured and I set aside my childish ways. So God wants us to mature and develop. And he's given us the fivefold ministry. He's given us the spiritual gifts. He's given us each other. But we all must operate in love in order to attain this maturity that he wants us to have.
Isn't that magnificent? I mean, there's faith, and there's hope, and there's love, and the greatest of these is love. And I love that God loves us. And he loves us so much that he gave us love every possible way he could as a gift. And that is marvelous. I'm going to ask you to pray again, please. Because there are people under the sound of our voices who have all kinds of needs in their lives. And maybe this season is hard for them. Maybe they have family problems or physical problems or financial problems. It doesn't really matter. It really doesn't. It doesn't matter what it is. Put love to work on it. And let's see what happens.
Amen. Father, we just thank you for everyone listening under the sound of our voices today. We thank you, Lord, for whatever they may be going through. We hope that this word has touched their hearts and let them know that they are not alone, that you are with them, that you love them, that you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. Mm-hmm. We ask, O Lord, that you provide everything that they need, whether it be a spiritual need, whether it be a physical need, whether it be a financial need, whether it be an emotional need. Mm-hmm. Let those that are on the verge of depression or suicide know that that's not the plan that you have for them, that you have plans of peace and prosperity, plans of increase for their lives, Lord. Yeah. And during this Christmas season, let them remember that your son came into the world in order to live a perfect life, that he might die for all of their sins, mm-hmm. that it's all covered under the blood. Mm-hmm. Not only he died, but he rose again.
That's right.
We thank you, Lord, for the gift of Jesus. And let us remember that he is the reason for the season.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for the families. We thank you, Lord, for the community. We thank you, Lord, for maturing us and developing us so that we will work together in unity. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for joining us today to celebrate with us.
Merry Christmas.
We are so thankful for all of you who make this podcast possible. And these awards, these accolades, these nominations, these are all just a wonderful gift from God to us. And all of you who make this podcast share in them. So we thank you for helping us, giving your time, your talent, your listening, your sharing, everything you do, donating, spending time with us. We are so very, very grateful. Merry Christmas. Merry everything. Merry, merry, merry Christmas. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'll see you next time.
And save her, let her believe they get on their knees, they pray all, they pray all, and never look back once the world forgave you. Come and save her, let her believe they get on their knees, they pray all, and never look back once the world forgave.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.